Whatever it is, I want to thank you for all the wonderful work you do, especially to my own dad. But unlike what I normally do, I'm not doing a Father's Day lesson today. So I'm sorry if that's what you're expecting. I just chose to do something else. I want to finish this lesson by the time, or I want to finish this series by the time our guest speaker comes. And the only way I can do that is if I move forward as planned. So that's what we're working on, and I want to thank you all for bearing with me. I especially want to thank you all for being here, either in body or online, because we're glad you're here. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the wonderful blessings you give us every single day. We thank you for each other, the fellowship we have with one another. It's time that we can come together every week to learn more about you and to worship you, Lord. Please open our hearts and minds to what you have to teach us. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Alright, so we are continuing into Colossians. Next week I will not be here. Rachel and I are taking a small vacation while the kids are at their grandma's house. And then I will finish up this lesson the week after. So I'm really, really excited to finally close this series that began all the way in Galatians. So if you guys remember us talking about Galatians, that is how long we've been doing this series. And I'll tell you more about the next series next week. But to kind of wrap up what we talked about last week, we talked about this idea that there are spiritual bullies or people who would attempt to spiritually bully us. And I talked about this in terms of judgment, disqualification, enslavement, death, and deception. And I kind of ended with a warning to not go to the other extreme to become a Christian spiritual bully. So when I looked at chapter 3, deciding what I was going to do for today or this week, I looked at it and I was like, I have no clue what I'm going to do with this. This is probably one of the most frustrating parts about my job, is every week I have to look at a lesson, and I have to make this lesson teachable, maybe a little bit interesting, and sometimes I feel like I just get very, very repetitive. So when I looked at chapter 3, I feel like this is every single thing I've already done. I don't know what possibly new thing I could say about this. And then it occurred to me that I actually really do have a good lesson that I could say about this. And that is one of consistency. And so that's what our lesson today is about consistency. Now let me talk to you about how important consistency is. How many of you... I know a lot. How many of you have been to basic training? Okay, maybe about a dozen of you. All right, how many of you liked basic training? Nobody, yes. David liked the graduation. Basic training was very, very interesting for me. Because when I got to basic training, I didn't jump in right away like I thought I was going to do. I actually spent 5 days in a holding area where they... for the first day, we didn't even have anybody watching over us. But after that, it was just like, get up, read this little book, rather thick book, actually. You would go and you would do medical stuff, you would get your clothing, and that was mostly it. One day we took a PT test. And it wasn't even like the normal PT test. We had to like run a mile in 10 minutes. We had to do 10 push-ups and we had to do, 3 push-ups and 10 sit-ups. That's nowhere near the normal PT standard. They just wanted us to make sure that we could do those things to be able to handle basic training. And then I get to basic training, and then the real fun starts. But one thing about basic training I hated more than anything, I bet you could all guess what it is. What do you think I hated more than anything in basic training? No, not the food. Actually, we had pretty good food. Nope. PT. I hated PT, physical training, more than anything. I didn't mind getting up at 5 in the morning. I didn't mind lining up immediately after we got up. But I hated doing PT, and we did PT every single day. One day we'd do cardio, the next day we would do muscular vascular, and then we would just rotate between the two every single day. And I hated every minute of it. Every point. 2 weeks in, we take our first PT test. I failed. 2 weeks later, we take our second PT test. I failed. 6 weeks later, we took our third PT test. I passed. Yes, and I passed the last one too. But I thought, but after I passed the third one, it occurred to me that the only reason I was able to pass that test was I was consistently getting up every single day and doing PT. I would never have passed that test if I wasn't consistently doing what I had to do. Did I like it? Absolutely not. I hated every minute of it. And when I go into the gym and I still do PT, I still hate every minute of it. But I know that I do it for health reasons, and I also know that I have to do it to be able to graduate basic training, because if I didn't pass that PT test, I got to spend another 9 weeks in basic training, and I certainly didn't want to do that. So, see, consistency is really, really important. We teach the same thing to our children. They need to be consistent, and we even have a phrase that we say, consistency is the key. There's so many benefits from it. It allows for us to measure things, and often we will get to the point where success in measurement is found in minor tweaking. It creates accountability. It establishes your reputation. It reduces confusion. And I cannot say this one enough. If you're doing the same thing that you always need to do, you never have to worry about what you should be doing. But for us and for Paul, it really helps maintain your message. So when I looked at chapter 3, I examined each and every single verse individually. How many verses do you think that I found where Paul said something that he did not say in any other of his 10 letters? How many? Half a verse. Just half a verse. And I thought this phrase was so unique, I had to triple check it, and I could not find anything else where he says like that. We'll talk about that in a second. So this is what I want to show you today. It's I want to show you the consistency of Paul's message through his letters and how important that is for us. So I'm going to very quickly go through almost every single one of these verses individually. I'm not going to read all the scriptures because I don't want to put my wife to sleep. But that will be up there for you to read. Number one, and this is probably the most important, I'm so glad Paul put this one first, is our job as Christians is to consistently and correctly preach the gospel. This is the very first thing he says. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This is our biggest message. This is our primary message. Where do we go from here? Well, as Christians, we are commanded to share that gospel, and that is him crucified. We are with him, and he is at the right hand of God. Is there anything more important than that? Anybody? This is a question. I don't think so, and if I'm wrong, please tell me. But this is why I think it's so important that Paul put this one first. But Paul says this so many times. I just wrote one. I probably could have had like 10 more of these, easily, where Paul wrote this, something like this, in his passage. This is why it's very, very important and why we should continue to say this message all the time. God doesn't call us to be better than the world. He calls the world to a better standard, and it is our job to help lift the world up to that standard. So as we look to who we are as Christians, we need to consistently and correctly preach the gospel. We also need to consistently focus on godly things. Well, what are those godly things? Paul's going to tell us about that in a minute. But I really shouldn't even have to tell you what those things are, because Paul has said them. In fact, we even talked about them before in this exact same book. But if you forgot, he tells us again in Romans. He told us again in Philippians. We know what God expects from us, and those are the things that we should be focusing on, and certainly not the things of the earth. We need to consistently... here's where we get to our only unique verse. I jumped a little bit ahead of myself. We need to consistently expand our knowledge of the gospel. Take a look at verse 3 with me for a second. For you have died. This is nothing expected. We have heard this a lot. But this is where this verse is unique to Colossians, is your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, Paul uses this metaphor a lot to talk about the hidden mystery of the church or the hidden mystery of Christ. But this is the very first time that he says that our life is hidden with God. So when I looked at this in two ways. Is how is this consistent with Paul's message? And two, what exactly does this mean? And so I thought about, it's consistent with the message that we should always be expanding our knowledge of the Bible, but also that to realize that this is Paul's kind of way of talking about an open secret. Basically, it's a secret, but it's not really a secret because everybody knows about it, especially every Christian is hidden. It would be tempting to say that this means our life is hidden from sin, but that's not really what he's talking about here. He's basically using this as a metaphor to say that we as Christians have been set apart by God. So even in that way, it is very consistent with Paul's message. So I wanted to use it in terms of expanding your knowledge for the gospel. I think that's something we should all do, especially as we are commended to do by Luke in Acts, when he commends the Bereans about searching the scriptures to find truth in the knowledge. So consistently expand your knowledge of the gospel. Also, this one's also, I think, really important. Consistently remember what the future holds. What is our future? Our future is with Christ. Our future is in heaven. The future is receiving the greatest gift that can ever be given to us in all of eternity. And that's always what we should be working towards. I think one of the reasons people start to fall away is because they forget this message. They forget what the rewards are, and they can see the physical, and they lose sight of long term, of what they are going to receive eventually if they stay on the path. So consistently remember what life holds for those of you who are in the faithful. But also now we start to see some of the negative sides of it. Consistently avoid the worst qualities of the flesh. Well, I don't know. I use the word worst here because the flesh does have desires that has to be taken care of. You have to eat. You have to sleep. You have to do the things to keep your body sustained and alive. And Paul doesn't really talk about those things. He talks about the things that are definitely going to push you to the other side of the spectrum. We see this in both Philippians. We see this both in Ephesians. We see this in Colossians. But also we're going to see it here in Galatians. And these things, just think of the worst of humanity, and that's basically what he's talking about. There's a huge emphasis on the sexual immorality, but mostly I would just say, if you just think of the worst of humanity, definitely avoid those things. Avoid all things that are part of the flesh, but you should especially avoid these things as well. Some of these things are tempting, like it's very tempting to be anger, it's very tempting to want to be malicious, especially if someone had done you wrong. And so I think it could be detrimental to you if you fall into those temptations. That doesn't mean if you do them once you're going to be condemned. It just means that if you're constantly thinking about the positive things, you're less likely to do them. Consistently be aware of the consequences. Yes. So, we talked about the good, but we also need to talk about the bad as well. So the good is you get to go to heaven. So what's the alternative to heaven? Hell, yes. Philip asked me about hell months ago, and so I said, well, that's kind of like the bad thing about this, is if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, and I'm sorry that for some reason I keep crackling, I don't know why, so we'll just keep moving. You're essentially going to go to hell. And so I want you to be aware of, yes, you should be, if you're doing what you should be doing, you shouldn't have to worry about these consequences. But you should still be aware that they are a possibility if you don't do them. Consistently remind yourself not to walk the walk of your past life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. You are a new body. You are a new creation. Yeah, it sounds like fireworks, doesn't it? I'm just going to... Yes.
Hi, friends. So now I've confined myself behind the podium. I feel like I'm being punished and put in a corner. But by my punishment has a very captive audience, so that's good. So consistently remind yourself not to walk in the walk of your past life. You are a new creation. That person is gone. And what I worry about with people who first become Christians is the idea that the new creation lives for Christ. The new creation isn't this shadow of the old creation. You can't pretend to be who you were, or you can't be someone that's no longer that person, but still looks like that person. We have to have a higher standard, and that means to walk how Christ commands us to walk. So that's, I think, something important for all of us to remind ourselves, is that that person is gone, the new person is here. Consistently realize that you are in the image of the Creator. Now, I think verse number one is important, but I think this verse is the most powerful, because everything we do is because of Christ, because we are His image. It is one of the very first things we read about when we read in Genesis that we were created in God's image. But being in Christ's image is taking that a step further. It means not being in His likeness, but also being in His mindset. This is why Philippians 2, 5 through 11 is very, very important. We seek to mimic the perfect, that we ourselves are not perfect, but have been made perfect, I know this sounds very confusing, by what He has done for us. So consistently realize you are in the image of the Creator. But also consistently understand there's only one identity that matters. A few weeks ago, I talked about this concept of what is the church's response to social injustice. And I kind of ended by saying it doesn't matter if you are black, it doesn't matter if you're white. And here Paul is saying it doesn't matter if you're Greek, it doesn't matter if you're Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, male, female. You are a Christian, and that is the only thing that matters. And the only alternative identity there is non-Christian. And the only way that matters is so that we continue to consistently preach the gospel to you as well. There's nothing, we all treat each other with respect. We don't treat each other any differently, except in the hopes that you may one day receive the gospel. Consistently use the best of Christ's virtues. Yes, we know how great Christ is, but Christ set that standard and He expects us to follow those standards. He expects us to be compassionate, meek, kind, patient, goodness, faithful, gentle, have self-control. These are the best qualities of Christ, and it is the best things that He expects from us. He doesn't expect us not to just not do the bad things. He expects us to do the good things as well. And this is our responsibility to use those virtues. Especially one of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very, very hard concept for, I think, a lot of us. Especially the severity of the transgression. So when I was young, my brother, he punched me in the nose. I mean, it was terrible. I cried, and my brother got in a lot of trouble. But it's probably the worst thing I can ever think my brother did to me. And maybe I was mad for a while, but I don't think I ever got to the point where I was never going to forgive him. But when I think back to, could I ever get to that point with someone that I don't think I would ever forgive them? I hope not, because if we look at the worst transgressions in our life, it is our transgressions against God. I don't think anything could possibly be worse than that. And yet God still forgives us anyway. And yet God still sacrificed Himself for us anyway. And so if God can certainly forgive us for that transgression of sin, then we can certainly forgive others for our transgressions against each other. So remember, as Jesus says, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. Constantly forgive those, or consistently, not constantly, consistently forgive those who trespass against you. Consistently aim for love. Paul talks about this as the greatest commandment. It is certainly the, if I could sum up the Bible in one word, this is the word I'd use. Because we know that love binds everything together in perfect harmony. It is greater than faith. It is greater than hope. And everything we do should be built in love. So as Christians, we need to consistently aim for love. And I think this is easy, especially if this one, by consistently letting Christ control our hearts. Not just in our hearts, but control our hearts. Christ should be the motivator for all of our actions. Everything that we should do should be also in the name of God. So if we let Christ control our hearts, everything else just seems to fall into place. Love seems to come easier. Pride seems to go down because we start to do things for God's glory. But also, we understand that what worship really is, because worship comes out of our hearts. And it's not done because of something that we're trying to put in there, but it's done because something Christ Himself has given us to use. And not only has given us to use, but is in control of its use. So as I say this one is really the motivator for everything we do. Consistently allow Christ in your hearts. And I kind of already said these two, so I'm going to skip them. And the last one, I think, is really, really important, because he's already addressed it before in Ephesians. But Peter addresses it in 1 Peter. But and that is to consistently treat your stakeholders with love and respect. A stakeholder is someone who is basically invested in you in some way. I would say go a step farther, consistently treat everybody with love and respect. But Paul tends to spend specific time here talking about the family unit and those you might have power over. It doesn't matter who you are or who you're in charge of. They deserve love, they deserve respect, and they deserve to be treated just like Christ treats us. So that's basically the summary of chapter 3. When I wrote the conclusion, I actually wrote the conclusion first, because when I read this, these were the first three things that popped in my head, and I thought this was a great way to end this lesson, is that when we look at what he is saying here as being consistent, we understand that consistency is synonymous with personal responsibility. I can't make you do any of these things. I mean, I might be able to make my children worship God, but that doesn't mean anything unless they understand what that worship is. I might be able to make them treat others with love and respect, but that doesn't mean that they understand what love and respect is. I want them to develop this relationship with God where at some point they're going to choose to make this decision consciously because they recognize it for being right, not because I told them to do it. And as Christians, that is why we should be consistently doing these things. Not because we were commanded to do it, but because we know how important they are to spiritual growth and our relationship with God. And all Christians should be working towards this same goal. And while that's not always easy, I think Paul doesn't talk about it here in this chapter. Paul has also consistently talked about accountability. And so we are also accountable to each other and helping each other out when it is needed. And so if that's something we can do for you in your consistent walk with Christ, or if there's something we can do for you now, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing this song.